The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 FM KUAF in Fayetteville, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. And this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, June 15th, 2018. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. A little bit later on the show, Katie Hendrickson, our classical music director, will stop by Studio 123 to discuss a busy weekend of classical music that begins tonight with a live broadcast of a performance by the Artisphere Festival Orchestra at Crystal Bridges. Coming up at 1 o'clock on 91.3, we know the dinosaurs were the victims of an unlucky cosmic collision. But did you know Lady Luck had a hand in their 150 million year reign on Earth as well? On today's Science Friday, hear about the rise and fall of the dinosaurs from the heyday of the Jurassic to our modern dinosaurs, birds. Hear more this afternoon at 1, right after Ozarks at Large. Later on this afternoon, the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks will host the 11th annual Art in the Garden. From 6:30 to 9 o'clock, this art sale will feature works by 20 Art Venture Northwest Arkansas artists. Some of the available artwork includes acrylics, oils, metal sculpture, stained glass, and photographs. Tickets are $35 for members and $45 for non-members. But right now, Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics is joining us on the phone from Fort Smith. Happy Friday, Michael.
Well, happy Friday to you. It's always, Kyle's a good guy, but it's always nice to break it up.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. I appreciate you talking to me today because I know it's been a busy morning for you. You have been to a press conference with the governor and all sorts of officials. Tell us a little more about it.
Yes, Glatfelter, the company that bought the Mitsubishi building. As some of your listeners may remember, Mitsubishi built this large manufacturing plant at Chaffee Crossing in Fort Smith, and they never utilized it. Well, Glatfelter bought it, and they make the products that go into baby wipes, into these Swifter-type products, those type of things. And so they had their first public opening, formal grand opening, so to speak. Governor Asa Hutchinson was there, U.S. Senator John Bozeman, Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin. It was, I was somewhat surprised. I just was expecting a grand opening, but it was kind of a who's who event. But the plant, it's an advanced manufacturing plant. It was about a $90 million investment by Glatfelter. They employ about 67 to 70. They have quite a bit of room for expansion. They're only using half of the plant. So hopefully, for the sake of the Fort Smith economy, next few years, maybe we'll be up for expansion into the rest of the plant.
Well, another building that's been you've been covering for a couple of years now is the Whirlpool building in Fort Smith. What's happening there?
Yeah, it's somewhat ironic that these two buildings are back in the news, but the large Whirlpool manufacturing plant. Phoenix investors bought that in 2015. Whirlpool shut it down in 2012, and they employed about 1,000 at the time. Whirlpool had employed about 4,500 at its peak production in Fort Smith. But that plant, that facility, almost 1.2 million square feet. That's huge. That is, like I said, Phoenix investors bought that down in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They buy these buildings and then they repurpose them for different tenants, mostly for warehousing, for small operations, for logistics and distribution centers. And they've recently invested a little over $3.6 million to bring it up to speed. And we have some pretty good sources telling us that Mars Pet Care, which has a pet food production facility in Fort Smith, maybe using part of that Whirlpool building for warehouse and distribution operations. So we'll see. That's good news. It's never going to employ 1,000 or more like it used to, but at least they're getting the building back some use and creating some jobs out there.
And when you create more jobs, you get more people coming to the area and they need places to live. How are home sales doing in the River Valley?
That is excellent. That may be one of the best segues ever.
Thanks.
Home sales are doing well in Fort Smith, and we're looking at Sebastian and Crawford County. For the first 5 months of the year, home sales are up. In Sebastian County, a little over 17%, and a little over 8% in Crawford County. So that's good numbers. And just to put numbers on that, it's 102 counties. It's $164.3 million in sales against $143 million same time last year. But what's interesting, though, is that this year, the first 5 months, there have only been 894 home sales. Last year, at this time, there were 899. So it shows you this is a positive thing. I mean, obviously, you'd want more homes sold, but what we're seeing is home price appreciation is doing well. So people who have homes, hopefully, you're in a place where you're building equity in a home place. And even more interesting, I'll close this segment out. In May, the volume of home sales in the two counties jumped almost 34%. So if that trend, that first 5 month trend continues, it could be a very positive year for homeowners and realtors in the Fort Smith Metro.
Well, Michael, thank you as always for checking in with us, and have a great weekend.
All right. Appreciate it.
If you want to find out more about any of these stories, you can go to talkbusiness.net.
Support for KUAF comes from Westwood Gardens, featuring locally grown plants, offering a variety of annuals, perennials, herbs, roses, trees, and shrubs, all selected to perform well in Arkansas's summer heat. WestwoodGardens.com for more. The Artisphere Festival Orchestra, featuring over 90 musicians from around the world, presents the American Spirit Festival Finale Concert, Saturday, June 23rd at Walton Arts Center. Performing a contemporary American sampler with works by Bernstein, Adams, and Higdon, featuring acclaimed violist Roberto Diaz. Tickets at 443-5600 or artistspherefestival.org.
The newest mountain biking trail system to open in Northwest Arkansas is not for the faint of heart. Thanks to $1 million investment from the Walton Family Foundation, Eureka Springs Parks and Recreation leaders cut the ribbon on a downhill park at Lake Leatherwood yesterday. Downhill mountain biking involves just that, going downhill fast on trails where riders encounter features like drops and jumps. Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek was there for the opening and has this report.
Holy smokes. That's huge.
Garrett Hubbard of Gravitas Racing and his two teammates grab their brakes as they ride up to a massive rock feature on one of the new downhill trails at Lake Leatherwood.
The pictures do not do it justice.
No, not at all.
And I've seen quite a few of them.
They stand at the bottom of a 10-foot ramp made out of rocks that launches riders over a gap to a lander on the other side.
I may be just fine taking the easy route today.
It's like a dirt jump.
It is. It's slippy.
Hubbard and his teammates decide to tackle the feature another day. Instead, they ride around it. But they don't pass up a chance to jump their bikes off the edge of a rock further down the trail. Hubbard was one of several dozen people who came out for the ribbon cutting that opened Eureka Springs' newest trails to the public.
All right, let's get it.
Takes three of us
on this, so.
Since November, a trail building company called Rock Solid put down six new downhill trails, each roughly a mile long, on the north side of the lake.
The difference from this trail and what has been built in the past is that this is really an aggressive adventure. I mean, it's something like you would see in the Colorado mountains at the ski lodges where they have bike parks.
That's Gary Vernon. He's a program officer with the Walton Family Foundation. He's also able to execute a jump off the massive rock feature you heard about at the beginning of the story.
I like there's a big rock launcher that steps up to a nice landing, and you can get up in the air for several seconds and hang up there and throw your bike sideways. So that's my favorite.
Vernon says this kind of trail system is a one-of-a-kind in Arkansas, partially because of the amount of elevation the trail builders had to work with, and partially because of the expert level of trail building.
Really, the trail builders, Rock Solid, has done a great job of contouring, which is just basically using every inch of downhill. You know, if you've got a few hundred feet, you could quickly make a trail go down and just last a minute. But they contoured, you know, kind of going across the grain and keeping the downhill moving, undulating a little bit up and down, using turns to accelerate your speed, and have developed something that it makes it feel like you're in the mountains.
Vernon says expanding trails beyond cross-country riding opens up the region to new riders and new racing event possibilities, like downhill racing or enduro, a relatively new mountain biking discipline that combines climbing with several timed descents.
We're going to see children coming out of Arkansas competing around the world in a professional level, and there may even be a world champion or two coming out of here because the trails are built in a way where there is progression. And there is challenge.
And Vernon says the trail system will attract mountain bikers from all over the country, since they'll be able to ride it when other downhill parks turn into ski slopes. This is what he told the crowd gathered for the ribbon cutting.
So, you know, stock up if you have a store. If you have a restaurant, you know, expand because you're going to need it. And, you know, I came here all winter long checking on the trail, and, you know, everything kind of rolls up in the winter. I think that needs to stop because... The best time to ride mountain bikes in the Ozarks is October through March.
Justin Huss, the director of the Eureka Springs Parks and Recreation Commission, says the new trails have the potential to change how businesses operate during the winter months. And some are already looking forward to it.
I think there's a large segment that likes their vacations, but I think that'll work itself out. I do think that, you know, we can almost advertise November as the opening of our season.
Huss says the new trails have also created an opportunity for a trail manager position, a component that's crucial to keeping all of Eureka Springs' 40 miles of trails in good riding condition.
You know, it's frosting, if you will, around Eureka. We have this core that is Eureka Springs that's dynamic and quirky and artistic and already a place where people come and get married and hang out and ride through. And I feel like these trails and outside of the town proper with Leatherwood and on the other side of town with the Passion Play, and in between, we're just kind of embracing the town.
And local riders like Corey West are already embracing the new trails.
It puts all of what we thought was a good downhill in the past to shame. I mean, the worst berm out here is better than any berm we've had in the past. So it's just a lot to take in right now.
On Thursday, West tried his hand at 4 of the 6 new downhill trails.
So what's your favorite one so far, I guess, out of the ones you've ridden?
I think it's number 5. It's the one with the wooden bridge and then the little diving board off of it. It's just, that was really cool. I don't jump a lot of stuff, but I hit that thing twice while I was scouting. It is just super cool.
And for the next 2 months, the Parks and Recreation Commission is partnering with Fat Tire Bike Shop and Adventure Mountain Outfitters to offer free shuttles that will bring riders from the bottom of the trails back to the top so they can do it all over again. Shuttles will run Thursday through Sunday. For Ozarks at Large,
you guys want to go back and hit this rock?
I'm Susanna Sitek.
Justin Huss did emphasize all users should have the proper protective equipment and get acquainted with all the information on the signs at the trails to understand their difficulty. And this trail project did not come without opposition. You can find our coverage of that story earlier this year on OzarksAtLarge.com. And in our next story, we'll stay in Eureka Springs, where last weekend, after 5 years of planning and fundraising, founders of the new Eureka Springs Community Center hosted a grand opening celebration. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the new center will accommodate both residents and tourists.
By musicians, it's beneath a shade tree singing 70s ballads as children squeal down an inflatable water slide and families enjoy cold root beer, hot dogs, and fresh watermelon. Eureka Springs Community Foundation Board Chair Diane Murphy, a local realtor, says she couldn't be any more excited today.
Officially, the gym will be open, a community meeting room is open, an activity room for classes and is open, and of course, Farmers Market is here.
The Eureka Springs Community Center Foundation, in cooperation with the city stakeholders and with assistance from the University of Arkansas Cooperative Extension Service Breakthrough Solutions Program, decided to redevelop the old Eureka Springs High School campus after a new high school was built in 2012. The foundation's leasing the property currently from the Eureka Springs School District Board with hopes of purchasing the parcel one day. Community Center board member Kathy Reminar says she used to teach high school English here.
And I've lived in Eureka Springs for almost 50 years. And I was on this site in this school for 40 of those years. And I am thrilled to death that this is happening.
The main classroom complex had to be torn down. It was beyond repair. A landscaped outdoor amphitheater is planned for the site where a busy farmers market routinely gathers. A 13,000 square foot former classroom annex, however, stands, along with a 27,000 square foot gymnasium, which was recently renovated. Inside, two women play pickleball.
My name is Kat Luna. I'm the activities director at the Eureka Springs Community Center. We have basketball, indoor pickleball, indoor soccer, and we also have a walking fitness program. Additional to that, outside of the gymnasium are classes with partners and teachers. So we have offerings from Spanish, Zumba dancing, we have art classes, we have dance classes, we have a swing dance class, we have a hula hooping and poik dance class. We have about everything you can think of right now, yeah.
Except an aquatic center, which is on the drawing board, an equipped exercise room, will open soon. The gym also serves as a critical after-school program site for Eureka kids, as many as 90 a day during the school year, staffed with certified teachers and volunteers. At the gym's entrance this morning, more than 100 locals and officials gather for a red ribbon cutting. Foundation board member Bill Featherstone officiates. He's also chair of the Eureka Springs Parks and Recreation Commission, which now manages the center.
On behalf of your fellow board and really everybody that's here and the entire community, thank you so much for getting us to this point.
Inside a freshly painted and carpeted community room adjacent to the gym, Featherstone reflects back on the effort it took to get here.
If somebody walks through the building now, they really can't appreciate where it was when we took it over. Just cleaning the buildings out was over 30-yard dumpsters full, just getting the stuff out of the building. Yeah. And if you don't know what a 30-yard dumpster looks like, it's huge. And then we had a mold issue that we had to deal with, and just the general cleaning after that, just the nuts and bolts of getting it to where you wanted to walk through the space. And now, not only is it clean, but a lot of it's been finished. A lot more to do, but areas are finished and usable. So, yeah, it's very exciting. We've met weekly or biweekly for, over 5 years. That's a lot of meetings. Those meetings are at least 2 hours long. And then there's a whole lot of work that takes place outside of those meetings. So the hours that the board has put in and other volunteers not on the board, it's hard to even fathom.
The board has spent most of the $394,000 in revenue from grants, fundraisers, and donations raised to open this center. Major donors include the Wingate, Bloom and Carroll County Community Foundations, along with corporate support from AT&T.
We have over 400 unique donors to the community center. And for a town of, just a little over 2,000 people, that's pretty impressive. That's one out of five.
Annual memberships, $20 for individuals, $40 for families, with day use fees available for tourists, will also help to sustain the facility, as well as a new planned office park. located in the Northside Annex.
What we actually consider to be a profit center will be used to bridge the gap between what we anticipate raising in the way of donations and memberships for this building and what it's actually going to take to keep the doors open. Okay, there's a gap there, and that's going to fill that gap.
And the Profit Center has plenty of free parking, which comes at a premium in Eureka Springs. Featherstone says 9 individual office suites are available, or the entire complex is up for lease.
A marvelous location. And so, you know, if there are any tech companies out there that can locate themselves anywhere in this age of internet and digital access, and you want to live in a small community that is starting to recognize quality of life amenities like community centers and trails and that kind of thing, and an incredible downtown with wonderful restaurants, wow, you could choose a whole lot worse than Eureka Springs.
And any entrepreneur who sets up shop here will get to enjoy the center's recreation facilities, a planned state-of-the-art greenhouse, and a walking trail hub that will interconnect with the town's hiking trail system. Tourists are encouraged to explore this center, which will offer an interpretive kiosk of the town's historic and recreation sites, as well as free parking. But realizing a historic lack of public facilities for residents, the Eureka Springs Community Center Foundation Board's mission is to reduce population attrition with the presence of this center. Since 2000, nearly 300 residents have moved away. Longtime resident and board member Jean Elderwin stands near the gymnasium entrance beside a table filled with the glass blocks recovered from demolition of the 1950s-era high school classroom building.
Now, we have saved 1,600 blocks that we're going to use the majority of them for construction as we build and improve our site. But we have taken 200 of these blocks and we have put a beautiful plaque on them that says founding member. And we are giving these as gifts to our members of our community who would like to be founding members.
The Eureka Springs Community Center on 44 Kings Highway is open Monday through Thursday, 4 to 8 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 3. The Farmers Market meets Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, 7 a.m. to noon. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can view a slideshow of the Eureka Springs Community Center at our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Additional support comes from Malco Cinemas and Grills, located in Rogers, Springdale, Fort Smith, and the Razorback Cinema Grill and IMAX in Fayetteville. Malco Theaters offer the gift of entertainment all year around for all occasions. Malco gift cards available at all locations and online. Malco.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Well, it's about time we ran into each other in front of all of our friends.
I know. It's good to see you.
And we're going to talk about music, which you know is not my wheelhouse.
I got you.
But there's so much in Northwest Arkansas.
It's a good thing.
There's outdoor music and free music and blues music, and it's one of the things we all love, even if you don't get out and do it as much as you wish you did.
Right.
So this whole segment is dedicated to summer music.
Love it.
Starts with the Eureka Springs Blues Festival.
Right.
Which is this weekend. And a bunch of this is free.
Okay.
I like free. Mm-hmm. I won't make you do math because I make Kyle do math.
But I appreciate
that. We won't
that.
Do that. All right. Starting today at 5 o'clock at the Basin Spring Park, there's free music. Then later at Basin Park Hotel, there's $15 music.
Okay.
And then tomorrow, there's free music starting at 1 o'clock at the Rowdy Beaver. And then the Brick Fields Band is playing at 3 at Basin Spring Park. And then Coco Montoya is the headliner.
Sounds pretty great.
And the tickets for that start at $20.
So very affordable.
So very affordable. And then Sunday, they're going to have a Father's Day blues picnic starting at noon at Turpentine Creek.
Uh-huh.
$20 to get in, and all sorts of people, and then an all-star jam at the end. So you can do the whole weekend for almost nothing.
I like it.
And then there's the Forest Concert Series at Crystal Bridges.
Starting up again.
I am now madly in love with one of the musicians.
Okay.
His name is Dom Flemons.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of the founders of the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he knows more about music. Okay, he's Clark Buehling with an African-American perspective. He knows all about folk music and all about historic music. And he's amazing. But before that, starting on the 16th, there's Diggin' Roots, that's tomorrow, mm-hmm. which is some of the people that are here for the Native American Symposium. Mm-hmm. And then on the 23rd, they're doing Latin music. And then on the 30th, Crescent City Combo, mm-hmm. who I just heard, and they're amazing.
Local band?
July 7th is Dom Flemons. July 14th is a Beatles tribute. July 21st is Amasa Hines Band with Rosen Bridge as the opener. July 28th is the Funk Factory. August 4th is an island party with Rochelle Bradshaw and Hypnotion.
She's so much fun.
And Dana Louise and Friends are the opener.
Oh, that does sound like a fun night.
And then August 11th, 1 Ounce Jig with Jamie Lou and Friends is the opener.
Also a good bill.
Okay, here's the deal about this.
Uh-huh.
They're $10.
Right. Isn't it free for members?
It's free for members uh-huh. and free for kids under 18.
Okay. So also very affordable.
And then there's the Gully Park Concert Series.
Which is also free and has been for
22 years.
Two decades, yeah.
Scary. I remember when they started this and we thought it was the coolest thing on the planet.
It's still very cool.
Well, it still is. You take a blanket, you hear music. Little kids get up and dance. It's a great time. June 28th is the Empty Pockets, which is rock and roll and Midwestern soul. July 12th is the Mighty Pines, which is roots music. Mm-hmm. We love roots music
we
here.
We do.
July 26th is Barrett Baber, who's like our hero of Northwest Arkansas from The Voice. And August 9th is a band called Fetz Folly that I've never heard of.
They've been on the show a couple of times.
Are they fun?
They're very fun.
And all of this is free. And then there's the Mountain Street Stage. This is my soapbox for this summer.
Okay.
I've got the finger up and the head bobbing, so you can just know that.
She's serious.
This happens every Sunday for 2 months at the Fayetteville Public Library. They have really good air conditioning.
Very important during the summer.
They have a coffee shop in the lobby where you can get treats for the kids for cheap. And they have great music. My daughter and I saw Crescent City Combo a couple of weeks ago. This Sunday is Sad Daddy, mm-hmm. which you just told me a minute ago that you liked a lot.
Yeah, also been on the show. Very good band.
June 24th is Route 358, which is a family group that does originals and covers. And July 1st is Betsy and Clark. And I talked to her last year for something. She's from here and graduated about the same time that like Becca Harrison did from Fayetteville High School.
Uh-huh.
And now she's in Kansas City, part of this partnership, and they play fiddle and banjo. So they play Americana roots.
Okay.
Then July 8th is Shore and Cockrum. July 15th is East of Zion, more Orzoak roots. July 22nd is Bo Jennings and the Tigers, Americana, indie, folk, rock. And July 29th is Divas on Fire, which I cannot wait for because I've never seen them perform.
Oh, yes. It's a lot of very talented female performers from other groups around here who come together, and it's kind of like a super group.
So here's the deal I'm going to make y'all.
Oh, okay.
If you come up to me at the library any Sunday between now and the end of this concert series, and you tell me that you heard it on this show, uh-huh. and you came because you heard it on Ozarks at Large, I will have a surprise for you.
I like gifts.
You can't miss me. I have bright red hair and a cute little girl with me. This is my offer.
I like it. I think it's a good deal. So free music, free air conditioning, and a free prize.
And free prizes.
Yeah.
How can you go wrong with this?
I don't think you can.
This is my soapbox for this summer.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, the transformation of Medellin, Colombia, from the desperate and tumultuous 1980s to the very hopeful present.
Do you remember the first time you heard the name Pablo Escobar?
I remember the name.
And I remember also thinking that Pablo Escobar was going to come after us for some reason.
That's next time on Latino USA.
Listen to Latino USA at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon here on KUAF 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Guy Clark passed away a little more than 2 years ago. Last August, during the Fayetteville Roots Festival, several musicians gathered at Fayetteville Public Library to remember the songwriter with performances of some of his well-known songs. Today, we hear selections from that afternoon concert featuring Brian and Bernice Hembree, Ryan Pickup, Grant Diabin, and Eric Woodhands.
We'll do this tune. It seems very appropriate. And
this is Ryan, by the way. Ryan, he's usually on drums. You don't get to see him standing up with us in front usually.
Black diamond strings on a catalog guitar. It's pretty high cotton, whoever you are. You break one, you change one. It's as good as it gets. You can play all year long on two or three sets. Black diamond strings is a black diamond strings. Drinking one W Harper, playing black diamond strings. Black diamond strings are like a white flowering rich. You play black diamond strings, cause it's all you can get. J.W. Crowell was a hell of a man. He worked three nights a week in a hillbilly band. He played at the Ice House on Telephone Road. He played in the yard just to lighten his load. Black diamond strings is a black diamond strings. Drinking one W. Harper, playing black diamond strings. Black diamond strings are like white flowering grapes. You play black diamond strings, cause it's all you can get. Well, come on, JW, why don't you play that frog line? Let old Rodney sit in, hell, he's going on nine. His fingers are bleeding, but he's keeping good times. Playing black diamond string, he'll never quit trying. Black diamond strings is a black diamond strings. Drinking one W. Harper, playing black diamond strings. Black diamond strings are like white flowering grits. You play black diamond strings, cause it's all you can get.
Now, cause that she told them both.
You boys pack it up, it's time to go home. We got work in the morning, and it's coming up dawn. Don't make me tell you twice or I'm gone. You can stay here forever, but you'll have to walk home. Black diamond strings is a black diamond strings. Drinking one W. Harper, playing black diamond strings. Black diamond strings are like white flowering grits. You play black diamond strings, cause it's all you can get. Black diamond strings on a catalog guitar. It's pretty high cotton, whoever you are. You break one, you change one. It's as good as it gets. You can play all year long on two or three sets. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Ryan Pickup also goes by Nature and Madness. Welcome Nature and Madness to the stage, everybody.
Man, what a good thing.
I think I can play it on piano. I'll try.
Do it. We should have Bernice play the piano, right? Well, Brian asked me, we were playing a set and played a Guy Clark song, and Brian came up to me and he was like, well, we need to do a tribute to Guy Clark. And I said, well, you're right. So here we are, and man, I'm so grateful that this is happening. It's not often I get to play the guitar when I'm at this festival. I play a lot of drums, so.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming and helping us celebrate him. Let's play Stuff That Works in memory of Guy and these guys' wedding. Got a playground sense of justice, and she won't take odds. I got a tattoo with her name right through my soul. I think everything she touches turns to gold. She's the stuff that works, stuff that holds up, the kind of stuff you don't hang on.
stuff you reach for when you fall is the stuff that works, stuff that holds up, the kind of stuff you don't hang on the wall, stuff that's real, stuff you feel, the kind of stuff you reach for when you fall.
Thanks, y'all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Over here on the slide guitar is my good friend, Eric Whithans, a.k.a. Lost John.
So I've never done this song on piano. Brian, are you going to... Is Brian still here? Brian, you want to do this song? Dublin Blues? We'll see if he comes. I usually play bass on this song, but Grant, he's way better than I am, so I want him to play bass if he's here. So we'll have Brian come out maybe and... Yeah.
Hey. Oh yeah. All right. Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Do you want to play or you just want to sing?
I'll just sing. I got
that's nice,
a rarity for me.
I know.
I can't promise.
Okay, so we'll see how this goes. We haven't ever done this before, so we'll try it. Yeah, and
I wish I was in Austin. In the chilly parlor bar, drinking Mad Dog margaritas and not caring where you are. But here I sit in Dublin, just rolling cigarettes, holding back and choking back these tears with every breath. So forgive me all of my anger, forgive me all my faults. There's no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I loved you from the get-go, you know I love you till I die. I loved you on the Spanish steps the day you said goodbye.
Well, I am not certain if we're going.
There you go, you got it.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
Well, I am just a poor boy. You know, work's my middle name. If money were the well, I would not be the same. So I'll stand up and be counted. You know, I'll stand to face the truth. I'd walk away from trouble, but I can't walk away from you. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. There's no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I loved you from the get-go, you know I love you till I die. I loved you on the Spanish steps the day you said goodbye.
Solo, anybody?
And I have been to Spain,
too. And we have heard Doc Watson play Columbus Stockade Blues. So forgive me all my anger, forgive me all my faults. There's no need to forgive me for thinking what I thought. I loved you from the get-go.
That was Brian and Bernice Hembree, Ryan Pickup, Grant Diabin, and Eric Woodhands, recorded live at the Fayetteville Public Library last August during a special tribute to Guy Clark at the Fayetteville Roots Festival.
Hey folks, this is Dave Smith, host of Ozark Highlands Radio. This week we have a special treat for you because we're going to feature the music of A.J. Croce, who's not only the son of the late, great singer-songwriter Jim Croce, but has obviously inherited the musical genius of his father, both as a musician and a songwriter. We'll get to hear him play some of his dad's most memorable songs. That's this week on Ozark Highlands Radio.
Ozark Highlands Radio, tomorrow evening at 6 here on KUAF 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large, and I'm Antoinette Grajeda. I am pleased to welcome Katie Hendrickson, our classical music director here at KUAF, into Studio 123. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's a busy time right now.
It's very busy, and I really appreciate you squeezing me into your schedule. We will jump right into it this evening. A big annual event for KUAF and for yourself and Crystal Bridges. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's our sixth annual Mozart in the Museum live broadcast from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art with Artist Fear Festival Orchestra under Corrado Rivaris. Love hosting this event. I like to talk about how it's like, my live broadcasting event of the year, because I get to hear this amazing music and broadcast it to everyone. This year, they are performing Mozart's Flute and Harp Concerto, featuring soloist Marie Tashaway. She's performed in 2014, actually. I talked to her then. She's the principal flute for the Lyric Opera Chicago. And the harp player is Cheryl Loosley Fetter. She's the principal harp at the Buffalo Philharmonic, just appointed, and she studied with Yolanda Kononassis, who I've had the pleasure of interviewing before at the Cleveland Institute of Music, so it'll be beautiful. And then Mozart's Prague Symphony, as well as some music from Johnny Greenwood. Are you a Radiohead fan?
I have a friend who's a huge Radiohead fan, so
yeah,
I'm excited
Johnny
for
Greenwood
him.
And playing. He also is a composer, so we'll hear some Johnny Greenwood.
Which makes sense when I think about it,
right? So I'm really excited about that. That's all coming up tonight.
Tonight,
I can't believe it. It's just kind of like, it always seems really far away, and then it's like
here.
Right here. So that's coming up tonight, and I can't wait to bring that to you.
So the event is sold out for
it's
in person,
out.
But you can listen on
KUAF. Yeah,
you
just tune in
from
to our
8
radio
to
station.
10.
Yeah.
And you are co-hosting with
Carl Larson.
Yes.
He's a violist with Artist Fair Festival Orchestra.
So you will let us know what we are hearing. And I always enjoy listening to you guys explain it because I am not as well versed in classical music as you are. So looking forward to that.
And then let's see, Sunday Symphony. I've got music coming up for live concerts. So Artisphere has two big concerts happening at Walton Arts Center this coming week. And one of them will be Beethoven Masterworks. So I've programmed the symphony. You'll be able to hear it. It's Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, his Pastoral Symphony. And then Monday, there's a Trillium Salon Series concert, which is my concert series, live classical music outside the concert hall into intimate settings. And I'm collaborating this year with Artist Sphere Festival Orchestra. And we put together a night of 21st century chamber music. So that'll be really exciting Monday night at 21C Museum Hotel in Bentonville.
Okay.
And it's at 8 o'clock, and it's free and open to the public. If you want to see the full program, you can go to TrilliumSalonSeries.com. I've listed all the pieces. It's all chamber music. So there's a piece for strings and electronics. There's a viola quartet, which is pretty cool because four violas, which is a very unusual orchestration for something like that. So that'll be great.
And it's free. Do I need to register or can I just show
up? No, it's just free. Open to the public. Just show up.
Maybe show up early because seating is limited.
It is.
And the orchestra is doing some other things this week as well. Next week.
Yeah, they have a full concert, two full concerts at the Walton Arts Center. Tuesday is Beethoven Masterworks. And then they have their finale concert, which is happening Saturday evening, and it's American. It's all American composers. So Leonard Bernstein, Jennifer Higdon, John Adams. There's also going to be all these fun things, like their off-the-grid concerts, their little pop-up concerts. So just go to waltonartscenter.org, and then there's the Artist Fair page. It's got a breakdown of all the events, because they really squeeze a lot in a
very short amount of time. They really, really do. So it's going to be a great week for classical music again. Mozart in the Museum kicks things off tonight at 8 o'clock here on KUAF. You can tune in to Sunday Symphony Sunday at 9 a.m. on KUAF2 or 8 o'clock in the evening here on 91.3. And then if you want to see classical music in person, you can go to the Trillium Salon Series Monday night at 8 at 21C.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
The Fayetteville Farmers Market is open on the downtown Fayetteville Square each Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday mornings starting at 7 a.m. This Saturday features a cooking local demonstration from 9 to 11 a.m. featuring Chef Heather Artripe from Ozark Natural Foods. SNAP customers will receive free bucks for attending. FayettevilleFarmersMarket.org or 871-2036 for more. KUAF Summer Night Swing is a three-hour live concert and fundraising event featuring local jazz and folk musicians brought together by KUAF's host of Shades of Jazz, Robert Ginsburg, and Mike Shirky, host of The Pick and Post. Kyle Kellums will MC this celebration of local programs that have helped to define the culture of Northwest Arkansas and the airwaves of KUAF. Listeners can tune to KUAF on Friday, June 22nd, 7 to 10 p.m., and hear KUAF Summer Night Swing live. The 68th season of Opera in the Ozarks kicks off June 22nd at Inspiration Point in Eureka Springs, with 22 performances over 4 weeks, featuring nearly 50 vocalists from around the nation performing Deflator Mouse, The Barber of Seville, and The Ballad of Baby Doe. Tickets and season schedule at opera.org.
The 20th annual Northwest Arkansas Juneteenth celebration is tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 7 at the Gardens on the University of Arkansas campus. The event, which commemorates the anniversary of African American emancipation, will include a cookout, live music, and family games. The event is free and open to the public. This is 91.3 FM KUAF in Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Berryville, a listener-supported service of the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can tune in to Weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning at 9. You can also catch up with old editions of the program at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. There you'll find links to individual stories that you can share in email or through social media. And speaking of social media, you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook. So plenty of ways to connect with us here at Ozarks at Large. You can also send us an email with story ideas or comments. You can send that to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ozarks at Large. We will have a brand new show for you Monday at noon. Have a fantastic weekend.